వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే 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 వాసుదేవాయ
నారాయణ నమః నమస్కృత్య మంగళంగాయతే గిరి మహన్వందే శ్రీగురుణ పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీచైతన్యేశ్వర who's officially taping for my tape ministry?
Good morning, auntie. I'll give the original and make a copy.
Who's the tape ministry? Sandvayamasa Munidiyan Hatha Bandhum Sucharpitan Bhuteshu Kalasya Gatim
Bhuteshu Kalasya Gatim
Darsayana Pratikriyam
Darsayana Pratikriyam
Sandvayamasa Munibhir
Sandvayamasa Munibhir
Atta Bandhum Sucharpitan
Atta Bandhum Sucharpitan
Bhuteshu Kalasya Gatim
Bhuteshu Kalasya Gatim
Darsayana Pratikriyam
Darsayana Pratikriyam
Any translation needed for anybody? Is everybody here know English? Studying the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Shri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. Purport, the stringent laws of nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be altered by any living entity. The living entities are eternally under the subjugation of the Almighty Lord. The Lord makes all the laws and orders, and these laws and orders are generally called Dharma or religion. No one can create any religious formula. Bona fide religion is to abide by the orders of the Lord. The Lord's orders are clearly declared in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone should follow him only or his orders, and that will make all happy, both materially and spiritually. As long as we are in the material world, our duty is to follow the orders of the Lord. And if by the grace of the Lord we are liberated from the clutches of the material world, then in our liberated stage we also can render transcendental loving service unto the Lord. In our material stage we can see neither ourselves nor the Lord for want of spiritual vision. But when we are liberated from the material affection and are situated in our original spiritual form, we can see both ourselves and the Lord face to face. Mukti means to be reinstated in one's original spiritual status after giving up the material conception of life. Therefore, human life is especially meant for qualifying ourselves for this spiritual liberty. Unfortunately, under the influence of the illusory material energy, we accept this spot life of only a few years as our permanent existence. and thus become illusioned by possessing so-called country, homeland, children, wife, community, wealth, etc., which are false representations created by Maya, illusion. And under the dictation of Maya, we fight with one another to protect these false possessions. By cultivating spiritual knowledge, we can realize that we have nothing to do with this material paraphernalia. But at once we become free from material attachment. This clearance of the misgivings of material existence at once takes place by association with the Lord's devotees, who are able to inject the transcendental sound into the depths of the bewildered heart and thus make one practically liberated from all lamentation and illusion. That is a summary of the pacifying measures for those affected by the reaction of stringent material laws, exhibited in the form of birth, death, old age, and disease, which are insoluble factors of material existence. The victims of war, namely the family members of the Kurus, were lamenting the problems of death, and the Lord pacified them on the basis of knowledge. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, 4th verse, in the matter of the prayers of Queen Kunti. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Sri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and grieved and affected. When death occurs in a family, it's always a shocking experience for family members. One's used to talking to a loved one, to a relative, to relating. When finally they leave the body, going through the phenomena known as death, then it's something which is generally, except in some very special cases, irreversible. And therefore one not able to communicate with these people in the same way, not able to have exchanges with the person. So in this way, it becomes something very final. And it's very shocking when finally one realizes. So one can become very depressed and affected. There's a period of mourning where people who have just suffered a new death in the immediate family are not to come to temples and not to observe social functions, giving time for people to recover from this loss. I heard that the Nambudipads who worship Deity and Guru Vayur, they take 6 months turns. Who's the head pujari? There's a death in their family, the system is not to inform them. So they don't know, then they can go on with their puja. But if they're informed and they become grief-struck, then they have to leave their puja. We shouldn't worship the Lord in some kind of material lamentation. Very moving to see how Krishna, playing the role as a family member of the Pandavas and Kurus, he's guiding everyone about the absolute truth. Krishna is actually the maker of these laws, but he's taking a unique role here of a guide and a friend and just advising people that this is how the laws are of nature. Since it's something we can't change, therefore there's no use of lamenting about it. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also said, what is the use of lamenting for something that we can't change? Like if somebody could have done something and didn't do it, they might lament. If there was an opportunity and we missed it, then it's something reasonable. We should lament because in the future we don't want to make the same mistake again. Maybe some of you in your lifetime, you ever had an experience where you made a mistake? Or you did something that later you thought you, or didn't do something that you could have done at that time. Has it ever happened to anybody? No. A few of you. So lamenting like that, that I didn't do something, so that in the future we take it very serious and don't make the same mistake, that makes some sense. But lamenting for that which is we have no control over doesn't make any sense. There were factors, especially in this Kuru-Kshetra war, much stronger than all the individuals. It explains here people had to die because Duryodhana had done many tricks to usurp the kingdom from Yudhisthira. So gaining a kingdom by illicit means was not approved by Krishna. Cheating devotees was not approved by Krishna. Then also the insults done on Draupadi shortened the lifespan of some of the Kurus. All these things combined, for different reasons, certain people had to leave. And then certain kings, being enamored by the power and wealth of Duryodhana, for political reasons, they supported Duryodhana. Everyone knew that he was a cheater. So even exalted personalities supported him for one reason or another. So Krishna was making a very big statement here that those who support a dharma will not be successful in the long run. The short run, you can have some success, if you want to call it that. But in the long run, it doesn't work. Many times people say, we see bad people are seem to be very successful, so then we think that, why should I bother to do the right thing? But just like, I noticed in the paper yesterday, some big government official was arrested, UTI chairman, for allegedly filtering crores of rupees from the government in response. So temporarily somebody may be doing okay. Sooner or later the karmas catch up. In this life or the next life, someone may be doing everything all right, all of a sudden that everything will face a big problem because of the bad karmas. So we need to avoid bad karma. And for the devotees, we don't want even good karma. What you tell me advice, don't do good karma, don't do bad karma. And obviously we don't do bad karma, but don't do good karma either. Everything we do should be done as a devotional service. The Pandavas, everything they did was for the pleasure of Krishna. It was according to religious laws. Therefore, they were very special. And that's why also the Pandavas are lamenting over the death of these cruel people. Normally a normal person, an average person, if somebody had done so much intrigue, I mean these people tried to assassinate the Pandavas in various ways, insulted their wife, they did so much, they killed their son. So many things that, I mean, probably the average response would be once the battle was over and they were all dead, good riddance. But because they're very soft-hearted devotees, they don't have this kind of harsh feeling. They're what we call gentlemen. They're actually gentle people. Even though they were the greatest warriors, but they are very gentle. Therefore, especially Yudhisthira, he took it personally that he was responsible for the death of all these people. He was the king, but therefore, for him to be the king, all these people had to die. Another verse, he also said that if you're a king, you're fighting Dharma Yuddha, there's no sin. But I wasn't exactly the king. The king was Duryodhana. And I was fighting to take over the kingship. So therefore he was feeling that I'm not absolved from the sin, because I wasn't the king. Like this, he was trying to understand all the religious nuances. But finally, Bhishma Dev convinced him that what he did was right. And there was no sin. But even then, Yudhisthira performed. Now we see here, for all of the deceased family members, they're offering Ganga Jal. Every year in Mayapur, the day before Gaur Purnima, now we've instituted Ganga Puja. We worship the Ganges, and that last year there was maybe 6 or 8 relatives of devotees whose ashes were brought to the Ganga and offered to the Ganga. So we had a ceremony. So people, devotees coming from around the world for Gaur Purnima festival, they can bring their Ganges ashes. And by the ashes touching the Ganges, then the soul is liberated from all the sins. Ganges is a very powerful devotee of the Lord. In the Padma Purana, it describes about the Mahatmya of the Ganga. And once there was a devotee called Satyadharma. And every day he used to go to the Ganga and take his bath. Then he'd take a balti with him and fill it up with water and bring it back to his home, a bucket. So this was his daily practice. Then he'd sprinkle Ganga water over the head of his wife and children. So there also was in that area one person who was born in a Brahmin family, wore all the trappings of a Brahmana, but actually he was a very sinful person. His name was Kalakuta, or something like that. Kuta. I think it's Kalakuta, I can't remember exactly. And he was a politician. So as a politician, he learned to lie and do many unscrupulous things. He was a meat eater. He was an angry person, proud person, after power, and many other material facilities. So he was working in the king's court as a courtier, as a politician. And he had him as a degraded politician. So he had done many sinful things in his life. He was walking one day when Satyadharma was taking his bath. Kalakuta was walking on the road, and there was a big bull lying in the middle of the road, dirt road. So the bull blocked the whole road, and Kalakuta had to walk off the road. So he was very proud person. Why should I go off the road? Why this stupid animal is blocking the road? So he went and picked up a stick, a tree branch from the side of the road, and started to beat the bull. He said, "Get out of the road, you nonsense." So the bull was, you know, very peacefully sleeping. That's become rudely awakened by being beaten, so became enraged. Why this person is beating on me? So you know how bulls, they start beating in the earth and getting ready to charge Kalakuta. Got him right in the chest with his horn, threw him up in the air. Then Kalu fell down on the ground with his heart had been pierced by the sharp horn of the bull, and he was spot dead. his heart was exposed. And the bull walked off triumphant. So, meanwhile, Satyadharma finished his bath in the Ganges and he was walking back on the road. And there he saw this Brahmana lying with his open heart open, exposed, and blood everywhere. So it was a ghastly sight. Then he was feeling very merciful, so he took from his bucket of Ganga water some Ganga water and sprinkled it over the head and the body of this dead Brahmana. Then he was walking back to his house. After about 10-15 minutes, he saw Yamadutas coming by him. Some of them were injured, some had their arms cut off, some were bleeding, some appeared dead. He asked one Yamaduta, "What's happening? Why are you all injured?" "So you don't know? You are responsible." "I'm responsible. I didn't do anything." "No, what do you mean you didn't do it? You did it all." "What do you mean? What happened?" "You see, that person who was body was lying on the road. He's a very sinful man. When he died, a big force of Yamadutas was sent to take him to Yamaloka. We had him tied up, leg and foot, head. But meanwhile, Vishnudutas appeared and told us we couldn't, as soon as you put that water, the Ganga water on him, Vishnudutas appeared and stopped us, cut the ropes. They said, you can't take him. He's now going with us." So we are a leader was saying, "How is this possible? He's a very sinful man. He belongs to us. He's stolen money from his friend and murdered his friend and chopped his body in little pieces and buried it, threw it in a well or something. He's made women pregnant and forced them to have abortions. He's done many sinful things. He belongs to us. He's one of our customers." "We've been waiting for him for a long time." "So know about his body has been touched by the Ganga. And he's purified from all of his sins." "So how is that possible? Just by a little touch of the Ganga, you'll be purified from all your sins." The Vishnudutta said, "Since you don't know the science of Bhagavat Tattva, Ganga is carrying the dust of lotus feet of the Lord, and by touch of the Lord's lotus foot dust, there's no amount of sin you can commit that cannot be eradicated." "Oh, come on! He's a sinful man. He deserves to be punished. It was an accident. Probably didn't know what he was doing when he put the Ganges water on it. It was not intentional. He thought he was a Brahmana. This man is a sinner. He's cheating on us by wearing Brahminical dress. He's going to be punished by us." But the Vishnu is sorry. "You can't take him. then the Yamadutas are going to take anyway by force. They're approaching the Vishudutas, and the Vishudutas said, this is very offensive. You're offending the Ganga, you're offending Krishna, and now you're also attacking us. Therefore, we have got no alternative but to defend ourselves. You stand back now, or else. But the Yamadutas still kept coming forward. They went to attack the Vishnudutas. And the Vishnudutas then released their chakra. Chakra! The Sudarshan chakras. Expansions that are with the Vishnudutta, they start chopping the limbs of the Yamadutas, their arms, legs, so they are quickly being initiated by this intense spinning, cutting force of the disc. So then they ran, picking up their wounded and injured. That's when they met this Brahmana. He said, what you did, you don't understand. You just sprinkled your water on this guy and created so much trouble for us. Otherwise you'd be torturing him and having a good time. Good time for different people are... Those who are like to do the policing work, maybe they can get a job as a Yamadutta and police the whole universe. Something for everybody to do. So the Brahmana, he just looked at his bucket of water and said, wow. I knew the Ganges was holy, but I never knew it was so powerful. Created a whole universal event because sprinkling a little Ganges water on the dead body. So he went back to the Ganges and he offered 108 times his obeisances to the Ganges. He offered 100 prayers to the Ganges, composed beautiful prayers in Sanskrit. So somehow the Ganga was very pleased with him, and Ganga Devi herself came out from the Ganges water, and the Ganga Devi was riding on her crocodile vahan carrier. She had a lotus flower and a conch shell in her hand. And she was very pleased with this Brahmana and offered him a blessing. What boon do you want? I'll give you. So the Brahmana, he prayed that when I leave my body, I can be touching your water. And please bless me that I can always be have association of the devotees of the Lord, and that by your blessing I can achieve pure devotional service for Krishna. It's the blessings that I want. So she said, tatastaha, so be it. And then she disappeared back into her Ganga water. So the Ganges is very, very powerful. There are many histories about the power and glories of the Ganga. Special spiritual water which is running to India. The ancient ship, owners realize that the normal water would go bad after a time. So on long ship journeys, they would add Ganga water because the Ganga water wouldn't go bad no matter how long it was kept. In Jaipur, there's a museum or temple there, and they have a big silver water jug, which is maybe almost 6 feet or 5 feet tall and four feet wide. So this was one of the containers used by the king of Jaipur when he went on a trip to England. He would only drink Ganga Jal. So they showed that same gigantic pot. Because it's for the king, it was silver. Otherwise, I don't know if they use silver for him. So, it's part of our culture. And even 5,000 years ago, everyone went to the Ganga. Previous verse 2, it says, having lamented over them and sufficiently offered Ganges water, they bathed in the Ganges, whose water is sanctified due to being mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus, the king of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhishthira, along with his younger brothers and Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, and Draupadi, all overwhelmed with grief, Lord Krishna was also there, citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings. Lord Shri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. Sometimes, third, the devotee becomes careless and thinks that no matter what they do, they are free of karma. Doesn't work like that. If you do anything outside of what's authorized by Guru and Krishna, then we're also responsible for the karma. So long as we're maintaining some attachments for the material things which are produced by karma, then we also get affected to some degree by the reactions of karma. Devotee gets a minimal karma as a token to help get us detached from the material world. But so long we're in the material world, we naturally are connected to various people. People are going to get sick, they're going to get old, they're going to die, they're going to be reborn again. Many things happen. So to that degree that we're attached to people, we can also be affected. Many factors are there. So it's important to remind our intelligence about the stringent laws of material nature. This is a harsh prison house. Laws are insurmountable. But it perform such a way that the people have an opportunity to change their situation, have an opportunity to right, have an opportunity to do wrong. In due course of time, the reactions come back. The karmas take their time to fructify and sprout and bear fruit. So what our duty is to simply do devotional service, don't make any more new karmas. If we suffer, we're burning off some old ones. If we enjoy, we're burning off some old good karmas. Don't make new karma. Don't add fuel to the fire. Let the fire burn out naturally. And then build up rather our spiritual credit by doing more and more devotional service for Krishna. That builds up our spiritual account. When we have enough bank balance in the spiritual account, then we can get back to Krishna. We were talking yesterday about putting our deposit in LKEB. You understand? Those who were there last night understand. Lord Krishna Eternal Bank. Someone said there's the LKB, Lord Krishna Bank here in Bangalore. But to differentiate, we're calling Lord Krishna's Eternal Bank. Every one of you has got automatically an account in Lord Krishna's Eternal Bank. From the time you do any devotional service, from the time you chant Hare Krishna one Hare Krishna mantra, one Hare Krishna name, and immediately your account is open. But you have to go on depositing more and more Hare Krishna mantras, devotional services, and this way when your account's big enough, you get a free ticket back to the Lord Vrindavan. Did I go over? Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
After hearing the story of the Ganga, what happens if everybody thinks they can do anything and get away with it by sprinkling Ganga water on their heads every day? Suresh Babu. Well, devotees know that you can't cheat Krishna. There's an offense called sinning on the strength of chanting. And similarly, there's an offense of sinning on the strength of going to the holy dham. So there'll probably be also some aparaj of the Ganga, that if somebody sins with the idea of putting the Ganga on their head to get eradicated, that it won't work. Somebody sins without desiring it, but somehow or another they sin, and later they go to the Ganga, they can get free. But if somebody thinks that I'm going to sin, let me sin with more enthusiasm and more confidence, because later I'll just go to the Ganga and wash it off. Krishna, ultimately it's his foot dust that's purifying you, and that could counteract such a type of offensive mentality. So from our side, we should try to avoid sin, be ready to take whatever reactions are there for what we do. And if we do get an opportunity to do something, to purifying ourselves, hope for the best. It's ultimately up to the Lord's mercy. Shouldn't sin on the strength of some devotional service. Any other question? Here's Rukmiha Das, senior preacher in South India. Suswagatam. Any other question here? Hare Krishna. I told you I'd come back again this month. Here I am. You didn't believe me, did you? I'm a regular visitor. Regular resident. Jai Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra Ki.
Jai.